Truth News Network.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media?
Worried about getting the truth?
No worries anymore.
Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
Here we are, folks. It's late at night. Been waiting to see if the House Judiciary Committee passes those two articles of impeachment to send to the full floor of the House of Representatives. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome to the circus. And the circus is here. What is the universal reason, the foundation, the basis, the seed of all of this corruption we're watching unfold and play out on international television from Washington, D.C.? It's called self. Self, S-E-L-F. Now let's get right to it. It's hard for most Americans to fathom why there is so much venom being spewed among members of Congress and its administration these days. I've been asked a bunch the last few years why there's so much anger and hatred. It's not Democrat Party. It's not Republican Party hatred and even some violence. It's an American problem. But what is its source? First, please understand that it's not new. It's been bubbling underneath the surface for decades. But its hidden agenda protected America from its penalties, hatred, and anger. But as it began to be seen 4 or 5 decades ago, people began to implement its use more often and more boldly. Its basis is the commonality of all men and women, self. Self, S-E-L-F, that may seem trivial, it may seem trite, it may seem simple. And it is simple, but there's a whole lot to it. There are many different theories and definitions of self among professional shrinks. I'm not a shrink. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. But me and many others agree that the self consists of a person's conscious and unconscious aspects, their personality, cognitions, thoughts, and feelings. All these traits or aspects combined together into the person's core identity. Other synonyms for self are soul, ego, personality, or individualism. To dumb down the definition of self, to use in our conversation today, let's just consider self as everything in our lives pertaining to you and me individually and seen, identified, and applied in our lives by our choices. To simplify it further, each of us, though an individual self, have much in common, including the basic traits of all humans. Self-actualization. You've heard us speak about that before. We actually did an entire podcast on self-actualization. It lives in all of us. That's the trait that pushes us each to maximize what we can do for ourselves and get for ourselves that we think we need and certainly want in every way possible. The basic element of that is that it is naturally pertaining to us alone. Bring others into the picture, and the picture completely changes. So how does this apply to this minefield in Washington in which we find ourselves individually and as a nation? Almost every American is asked at one time or another, how do people go to Congress in one economic class, spend some time on Capitol Hill, and leave Washington as multimillionaires? That's a really good question. I've been looking for the answer to that for decades myself, and all kinds of theories and ideas come to mind, but I've never been able to nail it down. The answer to that is at the core of our discussion today. Yeah, we have the answer. So you got to stick through this podcast to get to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would call it. Before we get into exactly what's going on, know this. From 2010 through 2016, the last year for which I can find statistics, not a single person who served in either the House of Representatives or the Senate has seen a decline in their net worth. Not a single person. Now, these are publicly available records. Net worth is the measure of the value of their total assets minus any debt they may have. This includes the current 435 members of the House and 100 Senate members. Also included is every member of the House and Senate who has left office during that time. Of course, they were then replaced. How does that happen when congressional salaries are about a paltry $170,000 a year? I know $170,000 is not paltry, but in Washington, D.C., and the expense to live there, I promise you, that's a paltry number. Indeed, some of those have invested smartly in the stock market, in commercial real estate, personally owned businesses that thrived, or added great inheritances to their net worth. But I dare to say that if we looked at the net worth of 535 randomly selected Americans, plus the several hundred others who were replaced in Congress to make the numbers equal out, there would be a large number of Americans who saw actual decreases in their net worth during that period, and some of those would be significant decreases. There's one benefit of being in Congress for which those average Americans are not eligible. The benefits of serving in Congress are known in Louisiana as LANYAP. LANYAP is something that is added at no additional cost to whatever you purchase. It's kind of like the baker's dozen. You buy a dozen donuts and they slip a 13th donut in the box. Let's look at congressional LANYAP. The big LANYAP, lobbying benefits. If you're unaware of those extras, every significant business, nonprofit, labor union, municipality from every sector in America pay for law firms to represent them regarding legislative matters before Congress that are of importance to those individual entities. Those lobbying firms receive tens of millions of dollars to sway the votes of members of Congress who have votes within committees and on the floor of each house that directly impact each of the clients that these entities, these lobbying firms, represent. Lobbyists are masters at using those millions to reach into the lives of members of Congress. We're not going to get into all the laws and regulations that control lobbying, but know this, a significant amount of those lobbyist dollars find their way into the lives of congressional members. They cannot simply write legislators' checks, that's bribery, but they can find jobs for family members, cush jobs that pay big bucks with incredible benefits. Universities are often, quote-unquote, open to scholarships for those close to members of Congress. Luxurious vacations in the Caribbean and the South Pacific. Speaking engagements that pay big dollars. All come with money and cents attached to them. And guess what? It's all legal. Who makes the rules about lobbyists? Congress makes the rules. Seems to me a bit of a conflict of interest there, don't you think? Wow, the prisoners are telling the guards how to live. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm referencing. Numerous honest and hardworking legislators have taken an oath of office and are straight shooters and above reproach in the service of their constituents. I know some of them. I know there are a bunch of really good ones. These would never participate in any underhanded financial home runs like these we mentioned above. But many do participate in those. History proves it. Being in Congress means access to information that office is unavailable to ordinary citizens. Sometimes constituents do see some of that info, but not at the same time or in the same manners as do lawmakers. One example of this resulted in the House passing legislation signed into law to prevent some types of insider trading. Insider trading is where somebody has an inside scoop on something about to happen in the stock market, and so they're able to go buy some kind of stock when it's cheap, knowing that it's fixing to increase dramatically in value. Or maybe the opposite's true. Maybe they know something desperate is about to be announced publicly about a company that trades their stock publicly, and so they go sell their stock quickly before the bottom falls on it. You know what that law is called? The Pelosi Law. Nancy Pelosi and her husband received inside information about commercial real estate property in California far in advance of any information about it became public. They invested, news hit the media, property values soared, and they cashed in. It happens often, but they seem to see it happen in their lives over and over again. In this case, it was several $100 million. Then there's merely selling congressional influence. I doubt much of that is actual bribery, but it indeed happens. In Washington, a legislative opportunity is based on who you know. That was a long time ago. That was everything, just who you knew. Then it became who you know and when you know any specifics. Now it's getting access to people who make those things happen. What things? Everything. It all boils down to one thing and one thing only. Money. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. That's from the Bible. We've all heard some version of that scripture over and over again. I've heard it quoted this way. Incorrectly, I might add. Money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's not true. Money holds no inherent evil. It's the way and the reasons why money is used. And the purpose for its usage is determined by who controls the money. But it didn't stop there, folks. Sadly, it gets worse. Decades ago, D.C. hawkers discovered that while money got most things accomplished, there were other avenues to get to cash that made doing so quicker, smoother, and made getting lanyap, remember that word, along with money, a sure thing. What is that thing? Power. Think about it. With sufficient power, one gets everything, including money. Self is the driving force for money. Power is the driving force for cash with a bunch of lanyap. The seed formerly was money. Now, it's power. Now, the big answer, I know you're after it. Here you go. Self-actualization starts all this, as we told you at the top of this podcast. That's a necessary human trait that alone is not evil. It's kind of like money. By itself, it's not evil. It's the other stuff that goes along with it. It leads many, self-actualization, to create jobs, establish and grow companies. It pushes those who want to help others to medicine, social services, and charitable organizations. But the type that exists and is developed to gain and maintain power to accumulate everything that self wants is plain evil. Enter the deep state. Oh my gosh, how many times have you heard that term, deep state? How many times have you used it yourself in the previous years? Lamestream media hacks call it conspiracy theory, and they call those who use the term conspiracy theorists. But, yep, it's real, folks. The deep state is comprised of all kinds of people, too. But today, we concentrate those in Washington, D.C. Through these last decades, politicians discovered the power key to the accumulation of all the things they wanted. They built a bureaucracy. In that system, they make all the rules. They control who gets in and who is not allowed in. They find opportunities for their fellow deep state members. In finding ways to protect their dragon, they unify an attack mode to protect their domain and their fellow members against exposure and, when exposed, the rabid defense of all who might attack those who have been exposed. And that's what we're seeing today. Think about this. Did you ever wonder why the rabid and unsubstantiated nonstop assault on Donald Trump has occurred? It began even before his inauguration. Within an hour of his swearing in, I bet you don't remember this, within an hour of him taking the oath of office, the Washington Post, that bastion of journalism in Washington, D.C., released a story with this headline, an hour after he was inaugurated, quote, "The effort to impeach President Donald John Trump is underway." Have you wondered why so many members of Congress suddenly decided to retire or not to run for re-election since Trump's election? Never before in American history have such numbers of those doing so occurred. What might be the reason for some of those not finishing terms or deciding to leave Congress? Have you, like many Americans, tried to understand the hatred for Donald Trump in the shadow of the most significant economic recovery in at least 50 years that has dramatically impacted the lives of every living American? Most think it's time to be happy and thankful. But to this day, House Democrat leadership refuse even to mention those economic benefits. They will not talk them. They don't even say anything ugly about it. Of course, there's nothing they could say ugly about it, but they ignore them. Like if they don't talk about it, it's no big deal. Do you wonder why Democrats are rushing through this impeachment process? Do you wonder why they have refused to allow the president representation in the hearings, the right to question and cross-examine witnesses, bring in and present their own witnesses, present evidence, question evidence presented by Democrats? Why has there been no due process, no consultation with the minority about hearing structure and content of those hearings? After all, in both the Nixon and the Clinton impeachment processes, the minority party was offered the same hearing opportunities as the majority. Democrats today operating this way with the Trump matter is historical. Never before in American history has anything like this occurred. Why would Democrats not understand that if this process stands, the one that they've created, every future president will have a Democrat-controlled House holding a gun to his or her head? Now, that, of course, is if it's a Republican president. The opposite would be true, as it was in the case of Bill Clinton. How do they hold a gun to the president's head? Well, it would be like this. If you as president don't do our bidding, we're going to impeach you. This impeachment process would permanently alter American history and the structure of the executive branch of government with no constitutional authority to do so. Why are Democrats and other deep staters so adamant? Well, here's that big reason for all of this, folks. Deep staters, try as they have, cannot take control of Donald Trump. And that is driving them insane. Think about it. He came to D.C. as a billionaire. He certainly doesn't need their money. That's unlike the Obamas and the Clintons, who moved into the White House having moderate net worths. When both couples left, each couple left with $100 million plus of wealth or contracts to accumulate that wealth. How did that happen and continue to blow up after leaving? From influence and quid pro quo. Have you heard that term lately? He ran numerous billion-dollar corporations, Donald Trump did. And those corporations employed and still do hundreds of thousands of people with locations across the U.S. and around the world. His power and influence rivaled that of those supporters that enabled the Clintons to accumulate their wealth, peddling their influence both during and after their presidencies. And of course, the same thing is true for the Obamas. Trump doesn't need or want any of that. Trump's predecessor was obsessed with what he was and did do while in office, regardless of the impact of those things on Americans, even when negative. Trump, too, obsesses, but his obsessions are outwardly for all to see. You never question what he thinks about anything. He's going to tell us all, either on the lawn at the White House talking to the press or via Twitter. We always know. And we know just not by what he says, but what he does at improving the lives of Americans. He's the only president in my memory who has fulfilled his campaign promises to voters immediately after taking the oath of office. The deep state does not know what to do about him. They knew after those accomplishments started piling up that if they let him continue doing so uninterrupted, he not only would serve a second term, but his accomplishments would expose the deep state's true power and control methods to all Americans. And they knew that exposure would ruin the swamp they created for all deep state compadres in which to thrive. In short, Trump immediately began destroying their deal too good to be true. And expose those things and the guilty parties are precisely what the president has done. That's it, folks. It's certainly not an intricate mystery, but it certainly has been well hidden. During the day-to-day, I want you to do this. Think through the things that have happened in the U.S. the last decade or so that you've wondered, how could they let that happen? It's most likely those in the deep state were conducting business as usual. Let's watch and see. I, for one, desperately want this to get to the Senate for trial as quickly as possible, but not to get it over with. I want the Senate to use this to test, through public and continuous testimony of those guilty of numerous federal violations, expose the deep state to Americans. If that's not allowed, you can be confident the deep state existence among Republicans that so many think exist will be confirmed. The only realistic explanation for any conservative in the Senate to not let such testimony happen is that they are deep state members who are desperate to maintain their status quo. God help them. Their exposure would undoubtedly be known to the world, and they would forever be tagged as deep staters. And they'll be toast. That's a wrap. Now you know the real reason for all of this, and it all makes sense for the first time. Kind of, you put all the puzzle pieces together, and there you go. They're scared to death, and they are losing power. They're losing control, and they don't know what to do. Well, the weekend's just ahead. They're going to recess. So Washington, I think, is pretty much dead news-wise for the weekend. But guess what? There's some other stuff going on around the world that's important, too. Not in Congress. They do nothing but impeach, impeach, impeach. We'll be back this weekend, if and when and with whatever you need to know. That's what we do at Truth News Network. We'll see you then. TruthNewsNet.org. So long, everybody.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media?
Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network.
At TruthNewsNet.org.